The following is a class on the Chaitanya Bhagavat, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami, recorded on October 8, 2000, in Dublin, Ireland.
Two weeks ago, here I gave a class on the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and some devotees asked me if I was going to give another one. I hadn't planned on it because I had picked out certain sections and I used them all up. But then when I was asked, I realized that you can go on and on speaking and not run out. Vrindavan Das Thakur, in describing one kirtan, says that even if Ananta Shesh with 1,000 heads for millions of years were to describe, he couldn't describe all the different emotions and transformations that took place in that one kirtan. In another place he says that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are like the unlimited sky, but a bird may be, fly up into that sky according to his capacity. In the same way, I can tell a little bit. So I'll do that till a little bit. I already spoke about the Maha Prakash, or the great revelation by Lord Chaitanya for 21 hours when he sat on the throne of Vishnu in the house of Srivas Thakur and called the devotees up to him one at a time and told them their eternal relationship with him, not just told, but showed them in the form of the Lord, and also told them how he had appeared to them even during this lifetime, but they hadn't known it. Remember, there was one, his ordinary teacher in Sanskrit, Gangadas, he said, remember one night you were very afraid, you were gathered with your family members trying to cross the river, because you heard the Muslims were coming, but you couldn't find a boatman, and you prayed and waited and waited, and then finally a boatman came just in time to save you. He said, well, I was that boatman. I came down from Vaikuntha because you were praying. And he told Srivas that Srivas used to attend a Bhagavatam class was given by Devananda Pandit. So one time when Devananda Pandit began describing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivas wept. So the students of Devananda Pandit picked him up and threw him out of the class for this display. And then he went home and read the Bhagavatam and wept. So Lord Chaitanya said that that happened in the classroom because the students were ignorant, as the teacher is ignorant. But you're crying, that's actually, I'm coming to personally appear in your heart and make you cry. So the devotees, when they heard this, they became so blissful, they would fall unconscious. And then he would ask them to stand up and ask for a boon. What? Mostly they didn't want anything, but he insisted he wanted to grant a boon. And one of the persons present that I didn't mention was Haridas Thakur. There's a whole chapter on the glories of Haridas Thakur. And here, more completely than Chaitanya Charitamrita, is told how he was called by the Muslim Qazi and was turned over to the constables to be beaten in 22 marketplaces for chanting the names of Krishna, which he said is the Hindu god. So Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur, as soon as they did that, I wanted to come down and kill those offenders, but I couldn't because you were praying for their welfare, and you didn't see anything wrong in what they were doing, and you're praying for their protection, so I couldn't intervene. But also I wouldn't allow them to harm you, so I put myself between your body and their striking you. So you can even see here the marks on my back. So he asked Haridas for a boon, to take a boon, and he said, I would like to be born life after life and be able to take the remnants of food that has been taken by Vaishnavas. Such a humble request he made. Another great pastime is Jaghai and Madhai, which is hardly mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The books overlap in the pastimes. In one book there'll be a lot told, and then the next book there'll be a little told. And sometimes Prabhupada would tell the pastimes regardless of where it had appeared, just telling it as pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So when Lord Chaitanya had now manifested himself as a great devotee, he wanted preaching to go on in Nadia, and he asked Lord Nityananda and Srila Haridas Thakur to form a team and to go door to door and tell people to chant the names of Krishna. So they were doing that, and then they saw one day these two drunkards making a great commotion and cursing and disturbing people. And they asked who they were. And they were told about them. And the people warned, don't try to go to them. You sannyasis, they will attack you. But Nityananda said, no, this is very, very good. If they're so fallen, we should go to them and ask them. So they went up to Jaghai and Madhai, and immediately these two drunkards became outraged, and they went to attack them. And on this first encounter, Lord Chaitanya and Haridas ran away, and they began to run, and the drunkards ran after them. The author says, but however, they were fat and drunkard, and they couldn't catch up. But and Lord Nityananda was laughing as they ran, and Haridas Thakur was saying, I don't know why I let myself go out with a madman like you. Here we are now running for our lives because of your whimsical activity. So they went back to Lord Chaitanya and they told him what had happened. And he said, I know those two. He said, if they come before me, I'll cut them to pieces. And Lord Nityananda said, no, don't say that. If you cut them to pieces, I won't stay here. Please give them to me. I want their bodies. I want to deliver them. You've delivered me and you've delivered others. But if we can deliver such impious souls, then we'll be worthy the name of Patita Pavana. And Lord Chaitanya said, the moment they saw you, they were delivered. If you wish to deliver them, then I'm sure they will get love of God. And all the devotees present there, they said, Jai. And they all felt that actually it's already done. They've been saved. But privately, Haridas Thakur took Advaita Acharya aside and made his complaints about Lord Nityananda. He said, I haven't told anyone, but to go out with Nityananda is madness. He says, I'm going to go in this direction. Which direction are you going to go in? And then he jumps into the crocodile-infested, monsoon-swollen Ganga, and he plays with the crocodiles. And I stand on the shore calling to him, hi, hi. Then he swims and he sees a boy on the shore. He comes out and he runs after him to beat him. And then when the boy's mother and father come, I have to fall at their feet and beg forgiveness. If he sees a young girl, he comes up to her and says, will you marry me? He said, there's no logic to what he does. He milks a cow and takes the milk and drinks the milk, and then he steals the yogurt and butter, and the milkman comes, not finding Lord Nityananda, he beats me. So Advaitacharya hears all these charges, and he says, yes, I can understand that you shouldn't go with him, but I think it's very fitting that the one drunkard is associating with the other two drunkards. Of course, he means Lord Nityananda as drunk with love of God. But he says, you needn't be with them because you're a Naishtika Brahmachari, but I think it's fitting that he's going with them. But Haridas goes out again with Lord Nityananda. Sometimes in ISKCON, one devotee will also complain to his authority about some other devotee he's supposed to work with or go out with. So they go, again, at great risk. Actually, it was just Lord Nityananda who met him alone. there was a near encounter with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was walking, and the two brothers or saw each other, and they said, oh, Nimai Pandit, you are good. You sing good songs to Goddess Durga. We'll come to your house and bring some gifts. And Lord Chaitanya just avoided them. But another time, Lord Nityananda deliberately went in the direction where they knew he was, and they called out to him, who? He said, I'm going to the Lord's house. And they said, what's your name? And he said, Avaduta. And he was like very playfully talking with these two drunkards, which no one ever dared to do. And he was thinking in his heart, I will deliver them. So hearing the word Avaduta, Madhai became angry, and he picked an earthen pot and he hit Lord Nityananda on the head, and blood flowed. And at that moment, Lord Nityananda began to think of Krishna. And then many devotees ran to Lord Chaitanya, and he came to the spot with calling for the Sudarsan Chakra. Immediately, Jaghai and Madhai saw this Sudarsan Chakra, and they became very frightened and asked to be... Oh, excuse me, I left out a very important detail. Lord Nityananda was bleeding, and then Madhai wanted to hit him again. So Jaghai said, Why are you doing that? Why are you hurting this sannyasi? What good can come of this? He felt some compassion. They called him a foreigner. Why are you hurting this foreigner? Leave him alone. And then, as I was saying, then Lord Chaitanya came with the chakra, and he was about to kill them both. And Lord Nityananda said, please, don't. Madhai hurt me, but Jaghai asked... told him to stop, and I am not disturbed at all. I just want to deliver them. So as soon as Lord Chaitanya heard the words, Jaghai wanted to save me, then he felt great devotion for Jaghai, that he loved Lord Nityananda. And he embraced him, and right away Jaghai felt love of God in himself. And he said, I grant you pure love of Krishna. Thank you very much for having this compassion to my Nityananda. And he fell to the ground, and then he said, stand up. He stood up and he saw the Lord in his four-armed form. So seeing such a good benefit in that kind of attitude, Madhai also threw himself at the feet of a neglected Lord Nityananda. He went to the top one, to Lord Chaitanya, and he said, please deliver me. Please give me your mercy too. Lord, I will chant your name. And Lord Chaitanya said, I cannot save you. You have hurt Lord Nityananda. You cannot be excused. And he said, no, please, you must. Don't go against your own religious principles. And if you say you can't, then what should I do? He said, you should go to Lord Nityananda and ask him. You hurt him. So then he went to the feet of Lord Nityananda and asked forgiveness. Lord Nityananda said, with all my pious activities, whatever I have, I give them to you, that you be forgiven and take to Krishna consciousness. So they were both saved in that way. And Lord Nityananda took them back to to join the Sankirtan party at Srivas's house. And at first, devotees were a little skeptical, but the Lord kept saying, please accept them as devotees in every way. And they took part in the chanting and dancing. But Madhai still didn't feel very blissful. And so one time he went to in seclusion to Lord Nityananda, and he said, I've committed offenses to so many people. I don't even know all the people I've committed offenses to. How will I ever be delivered? What can I do? So Lord Nityananda told him, you can do some service to the Ganga. That's very purifying. If you go to the Ganga and build a ghat there, then the people will come and they'll have a more convenient access to the Ganga and they will bless you. So he immediately took up that work. He went there and he underwent great austerities. He was always working with his spade, and the people started to call him Brahmachari, and then they began to use the ghat. And the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat says even today that place is blessed and is known as Madhai Ghat. Another important story is a certain exchange between Lord Chaitanya and Srivas Pandit, in whose home all these wonderful revelations took place. So one time he asked him, who do you think resides in Advaitacharya's heart? He wanted to hear something about Advaitacharya. So Srivas said, when I look in my heart, I see that Advaitacharya is like Prahlad or Shukadeva. So when he heard those words, Lord Chaitanya became very angry, and he right away hit Srivas. He said, what? You say my Nara is a Shukadeva? He said, but tomorrow all the children will be saying Nara is Advaitacharya is the same as Shukadeva. And then he got a stick. He already hit him. He got a stick to hit him and beat him. And Advaitacharya took his hand and said, why? Don't do this. A father, he may reprimand his son, but is done with love and control. Who can be angry? Who can you be angry with in all the worlds? So he stopped this beating attitude, and he began to instead instruct Srivas of the glories of Advaitacharya. And he said, I was lying in the milk ocean, and I heard the cries of Nara, and that's why I came into this world. He distinguished him from even a great devotee. But the author dwells on this point of the harsh, apparently harsh behavior of Lord Chaitanya by telling an extended story, which is unusual. He mostly just tells what's happening immediately in the Chaitanya Lila. But he tells the story we've read in Krishna book of Bhrigu Muni being sent on a mission by a number of sages to find out who was the best of the devas, Brahma, Shiva, or Vishnu. And the story is told with emphasis that Bhrigu Muni did not commit any offense. I know sometimes when I've heard the story, I think, wow, he really was risking his neck or his devotional creeper to make such a, to make offenses to Brahma and Shiva just to see how they would react. In fact, he almost did get killed each time. but we're told that no blasphemy actually passed the mind or passed through the mouth of Bhrigu Muni. And then there are a number of important verses which I thought of in terms of sometimes people even make some minimizing remark about Prabhupada or criticize that he did this or did that. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says that we should never have any make any judgment on a great devotee or any devotee for their apparently harsh behavior. And so the best policy is not to criticize any of them. Is Radhanath here? Oh, yeah, right there. Last time I spoke, you was remarking that the stories that really lent themselves to dramatic performances. And I said, well, you can take some and make them into dramas. So one pastime that the Lord Chaitanya did was to put on a drama himself. And he announced to the devotees that today we're going to have a drama play in which I will dance in the role of Mahalakshmi. And Budi Mantakan, you please, I will tell you the costumes we'll need. You go and get the costumes. And I will dance as Mahalakshmi. He said, but no one can come and see this unless they can control their senses. So Advaitacharya, at first the devotees were very happy to hear that there was going to be a drama. But then when they heard that conclusion, they all became sad. And Advaitacharya said, well, then I cannot come because I cannot control my senses. Srivas said, these words are true for me also. And Lord Chaitanya smiled. He said, well, if you don't come, then who will I put on the performance for? Don't worry. Today you'll all be kings of yoga. And then they became happy that they would be protected by the Lord, even though he would dance as a very beautiful woman. So he said, Haridas Thakur, you'll be the policeman. Srivas, you're going to be Narada. Lord Nityananda is going to be the grandmother of Mahalakshmi. And Nityananda. Advaita will be the king. It will be Krishna, the king of Vaikuntha. So then many people came, devotees. Mother Sachi came with her associates. It was held at Chandrasekhar's house. So the first person to come out was Haridas. He had two great, playful, fake mustaches he was wearing, and a splendid turban on his head, and his dress was loincloth, and he carried a big stick. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, tonight the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to perform a dance as Mahalakshmi. And then, taking an arrogant tone, he turned toward the audience. He said, chant Krishna, worship Krishna, serve Krishna. And the people said, who is this? No, who are you? They said, who are you here that you've come here? They couldn't tell who he was. And this was true of all of them. The actors themselves completely entered into the role, and the audience couldn't tell who they were, even though they knew him their whole life. So they asked, they called out to Haridas, because he was taking this role. Who are you here? He said, I'm a policeman from Vaikuntha, and I've come to superintend all the devotees, whether they worship Krishna. So then Srivas Pandit came out as Narada, and he delivered a similar speech, saying that the heart of this drama was going to be the dance. But when Mother Sachi saw him, she fainted. She just saw him as Narada. And so her friends anxiously brought her back to consciousness, and she began to worship, to watch the play. And then Lord Chaitanya entered as Rukmini. And he enacted the scene from the Srimad Bhagavatam where Rukmini writes a letter. And the ground was the paper, his tears were the ink, and his finger was the pen. And he wrote the seven verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, which are the letter of Rukmini to Krishna, asking him to please kidnap her. And then he came out again, and one after another, he displayed the different forms of his internal potency, Parvati, Durga, Mahalakshmi, and goddess Bhakti. Then he stood on the altar of Vishnu, and he said to the devotees, make prayers to me. So they all began to pray to her. And they didn't, people who had seen Lord Chaitanya all his life, they couldn't tell who he was. They thought the goddess Mahalakshmi is actually coming, so they began to offer prayers. And then he began to dance in a wonderful way, and the devotees were completely caught up in it until, as I said, it was an evening performance, until they began to see the signs of dawn were coming, and they became very, very sad that this is going to have to end. We didn't want this to ever end, watching him dance like this. And then at that point, they began to feel that he was their mother, the mother of the universe. And then he became the mother, and he gave his breast to each devotee, and they drank from his milk from his breast, fulfilling the Lord's a statement in Bhagavad Gita, two statements: I am the father and the mother, the grandsire, I am the mother. Another verse, he also says, I am the father and I am the mother. And all the devotees' desires were fulfilled by the Lord's being the mother and then being the children, taking milk from his breast. Amazing pastimes. There's another pastime about a devotee who people didn't even understand that he was a devotee, a simple person. His name was Vijaya, and his special talent was writing out manuscripts. This is the days before they had printing press, so a book was copied out. And he did it so wonderfully. He did this for Lord Chaitanya in different books. So he was called the pen man, Vijaya the pen man. And but nobody understood. They just thought he's a pen man, but he was actually a great devotee. So one time, after taking the noon prasadam, the devotees were napping, and Lord Chaitanya, in a casual kind of way, he laid his hand on Vijaya. But when he did, it was like Vijaya getting connected to the infinite powerhouse. Suddenly, Vijaya went mad with the touch of Lord Chaitanya, and he saw a vision. He saw Lord Chaitanya's hand was covered with all rings and ornaments. And then he saw that the hand went up and extended all the way to the top of the universe. Sounds like Vamandev, who did that with his foot. And Lord Chaitanya glanced at him with mercy and said, Vijaya, for as long as I stay here, never tell this to anyone. So Vijaya then jumped up and screamed, and all the people who had been taking a nap, they all woke up, and they saw him in this state, and then he fell unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya said, what has happened to him? Does anybody know? And what did he say? And Lord Chaitanya said, perhaps it's the deities here in Shuklambar's house, or the Ganga. He was very fond of worshipping the Ganga. Maybe he's getting some result of that. Or he may have seen Krishna. And then again, Vijaya was screaming. So the Lord touched him, and he calmed down, and the other people smiled. But he remained stunned for 7 days. He just, he was like a dumb object. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep, and he didn't talk. And he just wandered around in Nadia like that for 7 days. Of course, I don't have any understanding of what this is about, but it seems to me so, use a feeble outdated expression, so far out and so lovable, so extraordinary, that by just touching Lord Chaitanya, a person would just be wandering around. He has no awareness of his body for 7 days because of the shock, and then it eventually calmed down again. Of course, it wouldn't necessarily happen to anyone who touched Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya wanted to give him this this benediction. I spoke last time about Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, and we know that the immediate cause was when those lower, less intelligent students criticized him for chanting Gopi Gopi, and after that he said the medicine that was prepared to eliminate the mucus is actually producing more mucus. It's an enigmatic statement, meaning that he had appeared to deliver love of God, but here he was acting in such a way that the people were committing offenses to him. So he thought, if I become a sannyasi, then they will not commit offenses to me. But this word was, first he told it in private to just a few people, but then it got known around, and all of the devotees and all the people were devastated in Nadia, even the blasphemers, to think that he was going to leave and that he was also going to shave off his beautiful hair. So there was much lamentation, most of all, from Mother Sachi. He took her aside and he told her that you've been my mother in previous births as Aditi and as Devaki, so you'll always be with me, you are my eternal mother. And just pacified her a little bit. So he went off with just a few companions to Keshava Bharati, who he wanted to be his Shiksha Guru. But Lord Chaitanya is the Shiksha Guru of everyone in the world. So how could this be? Anyway, it was being arranged. And at one point, Lord Chaitanya said to Keshava Bharati, last night I had a dream that an exalted person came to me and gave me a mantra. I would like to tell you this mantra, and you tell me if it's all right. So he whispered into Keshava Bharati's ear the sannyas mantra, and this way he tricked Keshava Bharati to become his disciple. And Keshava Bharati, hearing the mantra, said, "Oh, this is the most wonderful mantra I've ever heard. You must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead to speak this way and to make me feel this way, and you look this way." So then Lord Chaitanya said, "So now I want to take sannyas. You tell me that mantra back." So he whispered the mantra back, and the ceremony was complete. The Lord was shaved, although at first the barber couldn't do it. He was crying, and then he was later empowered to do it. And then Lord Chaitanya went to bathe in the Ganga, and he came back now as a sannyasi. And at that time, Saraswati entered the mouth of Keshava Bharati and told him the name to pick. And he said, "Your name shouldn't be Bharati." That was perhaps a formal consideration. He said, "Yeah, because you're not to be considered as coming from me. But your first name should be Krishna, because you're always chanting Krishna, and you'll make the world chant Krishna, and thus you'll give them life, so it should be Chaitanya, for life, Krishna Chaitanya." When he said that name, as well, the devotees were throwing flowers, and they liked it very much, and Lord Chaitanya very much liked his new name. And then he went off into his sannyas lila. Lord Nityananda came with him, but then after some, he went to Jagannath Puri, and after some days he said to Lord Nityananda, "I think you should go now back to West Bengal, because if you just sit here like a silent sage, then how will people be delivered? Please go and do this work." So Lord Nityananda agreed, and he left with a few of his companions, who are eternal cowherd boys. And as usual, he traveled in avadut fashion, always in ecstasy. One of his companions was Ramadas, and he struck a pose and threefold bending form of Krishna, and felt in the mood as a cowherd boy, and stayed like that for 9 hours. And another, oh, and Gadadhar, who was in Lord Nityananda's party, he was in the mood of Radharani, and he said, who will buy my yogurt? He had a, took a pot on his head, and he laughed, who will buy my yogurt? And they were acting in this way, and they traveled quickly, but then they would retrace their steps or go in the wrong direction, not having much sense of navigation. So they asked some person, are we near the Ganga? And he said, oh no, you're off the path, you've become lost, you have to walk 6 hours in this direction, then you'll reach it. So they finally got there, and then Lord Nityananda, he began to convert anyone that Lord Chaitanya hadn't already converted while he was there. And he had particularly worked among swindlers and low-class people, all the hard cases. There's one description of some of the madness that was going on under Lord Nityananda's empowerment. And although I'm paraphrasing all of this without reading, I'm going to have to read this, because you wouldn't believe me. This happens when he arrives on the scene in Nadia. When Lord Nityananda danced in the Sankirtan of Lord Krishna's holy names, many, many people went wild, overcome with ecstasy. Small children who did not know anything uprooted big, big trees. Loudly roaring, they uprooted trees and threw them about, shouting, I am a cowherd boy. They ran here and there. So great was the power in those small children that even 100 men could not catch them and hold them still. Chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, the children joyfully roared like lions. Overcome with ecstasy, Lord Nityananda, who was naturally like a child, joined the children. For 1 month, those children had not eaten anything. Therefore, when the people saw all this, they felt great wonder in their hearts. All the devotees became wild with ecstasy. Lord Nityananda became the protector of them all. Thinking they were his sons, Lord Nityananda embraced everyone. He fed them with his own hand. He kept them by his side. He tied them up, hit them, and loudly laughed. They're all like sidekicks in his method of Krishna consciousness. So Gadadhar was one of his group. And just in the mood of converting Jaghai and Madhai, he went to the home of the Akazi there, who was a ferocious Muslim, who is described as having unlimited hatred for Sankirtan. So one night Gadadhar walked right into his house and began loudly calling out, chant Hare Krishna, chant Krishna. And the guards, they were stunned, and they just sat and they couldn't do anything. And he said to them, if you don't chant Krishna right now, I'll cut off your head. So instead of reacting, they just simply sat there. And then, but the Qazi came out of his own quarters, and he was furious. But as soon as he saw Gadadhar, his fury just went away, and he became calm. He said, he knew him. He said, Gadadhar, please be peaceful. Come back tomorrow, and I will chant Hari. For now, go home. And then Gadadhar began to dance in bliss. He said, why tomorrow? You have already said Hari. All your sins are gone. And he began dancing and chanting in the Qazi's presence, and eventually left. When Nityananda was in Nadia, he attracted the attention of a band of thieves. The head of the band was a so-called Brahmin, but he didn't act as a Brahmin. So one day he got his band of thieves together, and he said, brothers, why should we be unhappy any longer at lack of money? The goddess Durga has put together in one place a great wealth. It's on the body of the Avaduta. Have you seen all these gold ornaments and precious pearls he wears, and armlets and ankle bells and all these things? It's a great fortune. So we should just take them from him by attacking him. So they made a plan. And so one evening, Lord Nityananda and his group, they were in the house of a poor Brahmin. And so all the thieves gathered, and they armed themselves with different weapons. And first they sent a spy there. So the spy went up to the house, and he saw Lord Nityananda was eating. But some devotees, some were weeping in love of Krishna, and others were dancing in kirtan and crying out. So he reported this. And the chief said, well, I'll let them eat for now. We'll wait till they sleep, and then we'll attack. So the thieves were sitting there, and then suddenly the goddess of sleep came to them, and they all fell asleep. And they didn't even wake at dawn, but only when the crows began to call in the morning, they woke up, and they saw they missed the whole opportunity. So right away they took their swords and hid them in the forest, and they went to the Ganga. Apparently even thieves take a bath in the Ganga. And then they gathered again and expressed real anger to one another. You fell asleep first. And then the other said, I saw you were sleeping soundly. And then the chief said, don't fight amongst ourselves. He said, this has happened because we did not worship Durga. Tonight we will do it again, but first we'll offer meat and wine to the goddess, and then we will go. So they were thinking like that and preparing themselves. Then they began to talk, how would they divide it up? One of them said, I will take the pearl necklace. Another said, I will take the golden armlets. Another said, I will take the ankle bracelets. Counting up as who would take what. So this night, Lord Nityananda was sleeping. The house was quiet. And so they approached. And when they came near, they saw that surrounding the house were armed guards. And there were giants. And they had their weapons upraised. And they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They each had big garlands on, and their limbs had sandalwood paste. But they were so big, they looked like each one of them could kill 100 thieves. It's just miraculous beings were posted all around the house. So the thieves ran away and they went back. I said, what is that? Those didn't appear to be human beings. Where did they come from? And one said, I think it's the Avaduta. He's not an ordinary person. He's a philosopher. He's a Goswami. He's a mystic. He must have gathered them there to protect himself. Another one said, how could he be a Goswami, the way he eats, the way he dresses himself up? I don't think he called them. And then the chief said, I know what it was. He said, some big, big person, an emissary from the king and the court must have come there. They're his bodyguards. Mm-hmm. So what we should do is just go home for about 10 days until this man leaves, and then we'll get Nityananda. So they didn't have enough intelligence to understand what was happening. So they tried it a third time. And this time it was a bad weather. It was raining and very dark. They dressed in black. Each man had 5 or 10 weapons, shields and daggers and swords and tridents. And they approached the house, but as they approached, each of the thieves went blind. And so then they began to fall down. One fell into a garbage pit, and he was bitten by mosquitoes and scorpions. Another fell into a canal, and his legs and hands were broken. He began to weep. Another fell into a thorny bush and was being pricked at and being bitten. And then Indra began to send rain and then hail upon them. So they were suffering immeasurable pains. And the the thief, the chief thief, he slowly began to dawn on him what was happening, who Lord Nityananda was. He was thinking that we tried one night and this happened, we tried another night, that happened. He must be the supreme being, and we dare to try to attack him. But he actually reached the stage of remorse and taking shelter of Lord Nityananda in his mind. And at that moment, all his calamities stopped. And there were all these thieves were brought before Lord Nityananda. Some of the devotees were very suspicious. Oh, don't let them in. They'll just play like devotees and then they'll attack us. But Lord Nityananda actually changed their minds. But the thief said, well, what will we do, though, to recompense for what we've done? I tried to hurt you and to take your jewels. He said, walk the path of religion now, and whoever you see, especially among thieves, you tell them about Krishna, and that's all you need to do. So he did that, and everyone he saw, he would tell them to take to Krishna consciousness. In this way, he delivered the thieves. There's another pastime about a storm. When Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, Advaitacharya once invited him to have lunch. And he said, oh, I would love to have food cooked by you. So Advaitacharya and his wife, they cooked together. They had brought all things from West Bengal that he liked, especially shak. And she prepared shak in 10 different ways. And Advaitacharya was also an expert cook. So as usual, the arrangement was that the Lord would come and all his sannyasi companions would come. I didn't quite understand this, because it says, at one point it says, Advaita was thinking that if all the sannyasis come, then how will I get anything to eat? Which sounded like just like the way we might think. But later, it seemed that he was really thinking that if all the sannyasis come, how will I get exclusive, how will I have exclusive attention and devotion to the Lord? But anyway, it was arranged that all the sannyasis would come. Then Lord Chaitanya, he was chanting his fixed number of rounds and doing his midday duties and ready to come with his companions. And Advaitacharya finished the meal and put it all out, put Tulsi Manjari on the different preparations. And then he sat down and he meditated on Lord Chaitanya. And as he meditated on him, he actually appeared by the force of his meditation. And Advaitacharya was so pleased to see him, and he offered him all the prasadam and began to eat. He said, oh, this is wonderful. I've never tasted such shak as this. And he was eating all the different preparations. And he would just leave a small amount. And Advaitacharya said, why are you eating like this, that in each plate you leave just a small amount? And Lord Chaitanya didn't answer him. He just said, this is very wonderful. The prasadam you're cooking is excellent. And then he said to Advaitacharya, Nara, I know what you've been doing. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say. He was the only one there because Lord Chaitanya appeared, but then suddenly a great storm came, just like the last storm with the thieves. There was hail, there was rain, and nobody could go out of their house. So none of the sannyasis came except Lord Chaitanya. And so there was just Advaitacharya and his one dearmost guest, Lord Chaitanya, who ate everything and left a little bit in each plate. Maybe that means that Advaitacharya would take that. But it's not said explicitly. But then Lord Chaitanya, being all-knowing, he said, this was your doing, this big storm that you created just so that no one else would come but me. And then in very sweet exchanges, they just began to talk in ways to each other that only they could understand. Now I'll just close with a couple of things about Lord Nityananda. And this book is particularly strong on giving us the understanding that you can't worship Lord Chaitanya unless you worship Lord Nityananda. I told the story last time how King Prataparudra, he just felt that was Lord Chaitanya. He had trouble understanding Lord Chaitanya at first. But sometimes they have trouble with one and not the other. Oh, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he didn't take part in a family quarrel where some members of his family liked Lord Chaitanya but not Nityananda. So, the book is like that. And Vrindavan Das Thakur said he's the last initiated disciple of Lord Nityananda. So we get a very wonderful feeling about the glories of Lord Nityananda and the relationship between them. One time, a person who had been a student of Lord Chaitanya and now was a great devotee of his came to him and confidentially confessed that, "I have my doubts about Lord Nityananda." He said, "But he's supposed to be a sannyasi, but he's given up wearing a sannyasi's gopin, and he wears very fancy silk clothes, and he doesn't even carry a danda. He carries an iron rod, and he wears so many jewels and ornaments. I don't understand how he is a sannyasi in behavior and a religious person." So Lord Chaitanya began to explain to him. He said, "Yes, if you were to see this behavior in another person, it would be to the fault of that person. But when we see a very powerful Ishwaras do something beyond the bonds of religion or society, that's just a proof of their power, another proof of their power. Like Lord Shiva drank the ocean of poison. If anyone tries that, he tries to take the poison of ganja, marijuana, he'll perish in religious life." And then he began to tell some accounts of Balaram, who was Lord Nityananda, and Krishna. He told how Balaram and Krishna went to school together at Sandipani Muni's. And when the schooling was over, they wanted to give a guru dakshin, and the teacher consulted with his wife, and they asked if their dead son can be brought back. So Krishna and Balaram went to the abode of Yamaraj and brought him back. And when Devaki heard this story, she asked the same Balaram and Krishna if she could have her sons back. And they went to Bali Maharaj and fetched them back too. So this is Lord Nityananda, Balaram. And hearing these and other glories, he felt his mind was at peace, and he accepted Lord Nityananda equally. One time, Lord Nityananda went to see Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, and when Lord Nityananda reached the point where he could see the dome of the temple, he became ecstatic and went into a trance. And then he went into a garden and sat there, in wrapped in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya knew that he had come. So he went to where Lord Nityananda was, although he was just an internal consciousness, began to circumambulate him and bow down to him. Then Lord Nityananda came out of his trance. He saw Lord Chaitanya, and then they just began to make obeisances to each other and embrace and weep. And finally, they sat down in a private place, in a garden, and the author says no one else was present, and Lord Nityananda appeared then in a form that was not his usual form, and Lord Chaitanya did not appear as Lord Chaitanya. It's rather mysterious as he ends that, but just that they had such a confidential relationship and exchange that we're not privy to it. But there was a verse that Lord Chaitanya used to like to quote he quoted it when he met Lord Nityananda. He also quoted it to that Brahmin who doubted Nityananda. His translation is, even if I see him take the hand of a lower caste, or outcast, even if I see him take the hand of an outcast girl, or if I see him go into the wine shop, Lord Nityananda is still worthy to be worshipped by Lord Brahma. Okay, so anyone want to ask any questions or make comments? Yeah.
I read, I think, in Kapurta Teshwin that sometimes spiritual masters are in the world of Tananda, and sometimes in the world of Shumati Radharani. Just wondering what that means.
Well, I don't know about the word mood, but he's the representative of Nityananda. Nityananda is the original guru, or Lord Balaram is the original guru, we say. Sometimes if we have trouble in our relationship with our spiritual master, we pray to Lord Balaram to help us understand. Our guru is coming from the guru Tattva is coming from Nityananda, but Radharani also, Prabhupada would say that she's the best devotee, and if she recommends someone to Krishna, then Krishna can't refuse that devotee's service. If she says, this very nice devotee has offered this to you, he's a better devotee than I am, please accept him. So the especially in Vrindavan, they even will chant Radha's name more than Krishna, Jai Radhe. They're taking shelter in Radharani because they know that that will guarantee them Krishna's shelter. It just describes the lineage. As for mood, if one is a very advanced devotee, then he may be either in the mood of a cowherd boy, as led by Balaram or Nityananda, or one of the Sakis, as led by Srimati Radharani. That has to do with their eternal relationship with Krishna. I wrote in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita near the end of one volume, I think it was Every Town and Village, about Prabhupada being a representative of Nityananda. And Prabhupada has even written that by the grace of Lord Nityananda, a follower of his can do even greater work than Nityananda did, like expanding the Krishna consciousness movement. So I was giving different evidence how Prabhupada was an empowered Vaishnava, able to do what had never been done before. So in our temples, we always have, when the temple is fully established, and begins, maybe it's Gorni Thai, and if it's a big enough temple, then they eventually have Radha Krishna. And when he had an opportunity to plan his temple in Vrindavan, he planned it that there would be Gorni Thai and then Krishna Balaram. So people would see that Krishna Balaram and Gorni Thai are the same. And then Radha Krishna, Radha Shyam, the ultimate worship. Some more? Yes.
Examples that great devotees set. I mean, I was talking about how, you know, Nityananda and different devotees might be criticized by others and how they respond, and, you know, that they have overwhelming compassion and no resentment, no bad feelings. And I always find it, it's almost inconceivable how those qualities to, you know, we know as aspiring devotees we're meant to try and practice, attain those qualities, but when you tell them stories, it's like, oh, I find it very attractive to listen to, but I always kind of wonder, is it actually possible for us to, in our little stages, to try and develop those qualities? But particularly if you feel you might be criticised, but not to react to that, and not to, but to still have this compassion, still have this, like, seeing the guru all the time, and, you know, but actually in your heart, have that compassion to another individual who may treat you unfairly or whatever.
Well, yeah, it's in a very advanced state and we can't imitate it, but we can try to act in the right way. Like when Bhrigu Muni insulted Brahma, he insulted him by not bowing down, not making any offering to him, appearing arrogant. And then Brahma wanted to kill him, but the devotees stopped him and said, he's your son. And so the anger was extinguished like fire is extinguished by water. So, but Brahma, because he showed that anger, says he wasn't topmost, but we could at least do like that, you know, do something to turn the anger off so that it doesn't get worse. So someone insults you and you get angry back, but you control yourself. That's what Brahma did. And then he insulted Shiva. He increased it. He said, you are unfit to be touched. You wear skulls and you associate with ghosts and demons. Get away from me. Increased insult. And Lord Shiva grabbed his trident. He was going to kill his younger brother, and Parvati said, please don't do this, spare him. And then he felt embarrassed that he was even going to do that. So maybe we can, some devotee can remind us, a spiritual master or another devotee can remind us that it's not fit, it's not good for us to respond like that, wanting to kill somebody or insult them. And then the topmost thing that you can imitate is Lord Vishnu's behavior. He was kicked, and he apologized to the person who kicked him. So, at least control your anger, and then try to go away from the scene, and then try to analyze it and calm yourself down. Like an external good behavior is, if you're in the scene where that's going on, someone's saying something bad to you or insulting you, the first thing to do is just try to leave that place so that you cool down, and not that you don't say something back. There's also the saying of Jesus Christ: if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. And how can anybody act on that level unless there's a saint? But at least you don't have to hit his cheek. But if you're thinking, he hit me, I'm going to hit him, then you can just instead just go away. So you don't commit offense. If you're angry, then withdraw yourself from the scene. Arjuna, you're in the front row. I've been meditating on your Prabhupada t-shirt. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.